America's political landscape has turned from a place of leadership and service to a battlefield of war. It's a war between two political parties that feeds on anger, partisanship, created by a greater political swamp, brought about fewer accomplishments, all of which has turned you, the voter, pretty much into a casualty when you think about it. Despite how it may feel, though, this isn't the way it's always been, nor does it have to remain this way. Our first guest today is a political veteran who, with his new book, places before us, I believe, an accurate analysis of what is, how the foundation of a solution and remedy is already being built, and through history, how we can learn about bringing things to better times and better ways. Additionally, given his significant amount of time with many political leaders and players, he helps you know and understand quite a few of them much better. Does all this with his book, Finding the Third Way, Lessons in the Politics of Civility. There's a nice word for my journey through history. He's a veteran political operative, served as President Bill Clinton's special counsel. Lanny Davis, thanks for being here today, Mr. Davis.
Well, thank you, and I just want to say that I appreciate the invitation, and I'm a Jersey boy, so whoever in New Jersey is listening to me, I'm a Jersey City, Hudson County, born and raised, and went to school in Newark at Newark Academy. So hello, fellow Jerseyites.
I was going to say, if you're a Newark Academy alumni, you will find many stories I have a feeling you'll relate to in Finding the Third Way as well.
Yes.
In addition, yes. When reading about your mom and your dad, your family, talk about their influence because, well, A, I think first it comes, those stories bring about a great parenting guide, as well as what you did for mom and dad later in life proves to be great lessons in how to be a good son. But talk about their influence in your life.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll do a positive influence and a lesson I learned from my dad, who I loved with all my heart, as to not to be like my dad. So let me start with that one. My father was a dentist in Jersey City, and my mom helped him in the office. And my father was a highly political, highly liberal, FDR liberal Democrat. So I'm sure that doesn't surprise anyone who knows a little bit about me. But my father used to argue a lot about politics over the dinner table when we invited friends over on the golf course with his friends. And the argument was always about if you disagreed with my father, he took it personally, and he often lost friends because of political differences. So I watched some of this happening, and I thought to myself at some point later in life, looking back, especially when I wrote the book, I learned to do the opposite. And that's the thesis of this entire book, is that when we have political differences, with the exception of racism and bigotry and extreme thinking that can't be even dealt with, and I accept those types of people, they're a very small percentage of our population who are bigots and who are racist. Putting them aside, I learned from my father not to do what he did, is that if somebody is for Donald Trump and I am not, we can reasonably disagree without demonizing each other and calling each other names. So the interesting story about my dad, as much as I loved him, and he taught me to love the New York Giants when they were Giants back in New York, and to despise the New York Yankees. Why, Dad? I love the Yankees. Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, pinstripes. I love the Yankees. And he said, which is the chapter of my book, long answer to your question, you can't be for the Yankees. Why not, Dad? They're winning all the time. When I grew up, they won all the World Series in the 1950s. They have all the money, and they're Republicans. So that's why I wasn't allowed to root for the Yankees, and I decided to grow up and be different.
Plus, you know, when you look at Billy Martin, Mickey Mantle, Yogi, they were tough guys. Willie Mays was cool, though. I mean, that's the big difference there. Now,
He was, just to interrupt for a second, because of the word cool, if you don't mind, it was exactly the right word, but for a young kid, I was young, and Willie was at his prime in the 1950s. He was fun. He enjoyed life. He enjoyed his sport. He was at his happiest on the baseball field. And I saw a photograph of him. I'll never forget it. I was 8 or 9 years old. It sticks with me as if it was yesterday. After a long and sweaty baseball game in the summer of whatever the year was, There was a photograph of Willie Mays in the streets of Harlem where he lived. He couldn't live in white neighborhoods. And he was out on the street after an exhausting baseball game with a stick ball, playing stick ball with the kids on the street. So they captured that photograph. That photograph stuck with me from that day until the day I met him 50 years later at a Bill Clinton, it was actually a Hillary Clinton fundraiser, and Bill Clinton brought Willie Mays for me to meet as a surprise because Willie had helped Mr. Clinton raise money for his foundation. And the surprise guest of the Hillary Clinton fundraiser in San Francisco, after all those years of worship, was Willie Mays. And like a bawling kid, I cried my eyes out as he signed the autograph for me. And there's a photograph of Willie signing the autograph 50 years later, and I was crying.
Moving into politics, and like I said back in the intro, what we're seeing now, it wasn't always this way. And one of the lessons, I think, one of the many lessons the reader gains from your book is there's a difference between knowing somebody that is on the way up, is in the seat of power, whatever the case may be, versus learning from that person. How important is that difference?
It's very important. It's the essential message of my book, and thank you for catching that and asking the question. My advice to people like me, I'm a liberal Democrat. I oppose almost every policy that Donald Trump stands for, especially the Iran war. I still advise everyone like me who is in opposition to Mr. Trump, listen to Trump voters before you talk. Ask a Trump voter who maybe used to be a Democrat and switched over to Donald Trump why, and listen. And then see if you can find common ground. It's as simple as that. Listen and look for common ground. And by the way, if you did that today, if you're listening to this program and you don't like Donald Trump and you know someone who does, why don't you say, why did you vote for Trump? And listen, and you're going to find common ground. You're going to say, well, he's now broken his campaign promise about endless wars. I'm against the Iran war. Well, we can agree on that one. So looking for common ground is the theme of my book.
Which is Finding the Third Way, Lessons in the Politics of Civility from My Journey Through History. Lanny's website, by the way, is LannyJDavis.com. We have the link at our homepage. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And again, turning back the clock, not really that far. It's not unheard of for opposite sides to work together. You go back to Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill, another combination that you're very familiar with, President Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich. They might not have liked each other or agreed with each other, but when you look at what they got done and the sizable things they got done versus the stuck in neutral that we see today, quite a difference between then and now, isn't it?
Well, thank you for mentioning that's one of the best examples. I would say that Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton didn't exactly like each other. But when it came time to Bill Clinton being a fiscal conservative, because as governor of Arkansas, he didn't have the opportunity to borrow money to pay for current bills. He had to pay for his budget every year and balance his budget. So he went to Gingrich or vice versa, and they decided, we're spending our children's money by using credit cards, by deficit spending. We're borrowing money, and then we dump all the receipts on the beds of our children, and we say, you pay. Well, that was just plain immoral. For Bill Clinton, it was immoral to use deficit spending and tell our children or grandchildren to pay the bills. And Newt Gingrich agreed. So they had common ground on balancing the budget. So when Bill Clinton went to Gingrich and Joe Scarborough, I would add, and a bunch of conservatives, they were shocked that he said, let's figure this out. Let's not spend more than we're taking in, like every household. So Bill Clinton was a fiscal conservative. He balanced the budget in his last years as president, and he and Newt Gingrich deserve the credit. He left a surplus. Do you believe the word surplus, which is never used?
Yeah.
Which is that they were taking in more money than they were spending. By the time Bill Clinton left, he had a $30 billion surplus, which means he reduced the national debt. So there's the third way that I'm talking about. Democrats do not have to be big spending, big government, high taxing as an alternative to Trump. A lot of people voted for Trump because they didn't want that type of alternative. We have an alternative hiding in plain sight. It's the Bill Clinton third way.
And it's just a matter of, because there's a growing number of frustrated voters that are cast adrift right now. And about 30 seconds here, what does a Democrat or even an independent have to do to say, hey, come on over here, I got something for you?
They have to just, the three parts of the Bill Clinton third way: fiscal conservative, support balanced budgets, and stop spending more than we take in. Secondly, on cultural issues that make people uncomfortable without having the time to identify them. Be tolerant, not only tolerant of people who are in favor of certain cultural changes, but they should be tolerant of you. And then the third most important thing of all is to be civil and civilly disagree and find common ground.
And Lanny expands on all those ideas and finding the third way, lessons in the politics of civility. From my journey through history, LannyJDavis.com, the website. Mr. Davis, your book is an education and insight in so many different ways that everyone who reads it will gain from it. Thanks for the book and for being here today.
Thank you, and hello to my fellow Jerseyites. I'm still a New Jersey boy. Thank you for the invitation today.